Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Now on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello to you and welcome to another show. Of course, another week. And I don't know where you are in which part in the world, but I am in Belgium. And I can tell you, this is one of the days that I wish I was in the south of Spain or somewhere in California, having that blue sky and that sun. Even if it would only be 18 or 20 degrees, I would be happy because, oh, I can see from my window here and I can hear the rain is really so bad. And I know we need water, but it hasn't stopped. The whole month of November, I believe, is one of the wettest in history here in Belgium. So wherever you are, I trust that you have a cup of tea just like me and that you are happy inside and maybe even happy outside. And then I envy you because, as I say, I so need the air. I need a bit of oxygen. I need a bit of sun, a bit of blue sky, the light. But let's just dive into this week's show. This week, I have an interview all about breathing. Now, you and I, we both know that breathing is something natural for every single one of us. But so many of us breathe in a dysfunctional way. We breathe superficially, not deeply enough. And I have an expert today, Michael Hutchison, who is a retired scientist with a long-standing parallel involvement in an ancient yoga tradition, which emphasizes working with the breath. Now, Michael's outstanding experience within this tradition means that he is uniquely placed in the UK as a teacher of remedial breath work. So I know that he has just written a book, Breath for Health. And so he has had 2 teacher training courses, taught at the European Yoga Congress and featured at 4 World Yoga Festivals. But being currently the chair of the British Council for Yoga Therapy, I am sure that we are going to talk mostly about his book, Breath for Health. And I think it's actually a beautiful title because without our breathing, there's no health, there's no life. So I'm actually quite excited to talk to Michael and to see what he has to say. And I believe when you are retired, when you have that whole life experience behind you, I am sure that one has more inner peace, more harmony, more calmness within. And so I am really, really looking forward to this connection. I will see you after this little break. And don't forget that if you can't listen in live, don't forget that there's always the Listen on Demand department where you can go any time of the day when it suits you to download or to listen to your favorite show. And if you want a specific subject that I talk about in this show, From Stress to Authentic Success, feel free to contact me at danielle@daniellesachs.com, and I will be so open to see what subject that you would like me to talk about. What is it in your life that is stressing you the most? What do you want to know more about stress or about authentic success or about the journey from one to another? So I will see you just now after this little break when I talk to Michael Hutchinson.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. And as mentioned in the intro, today's show is all about reading. Bread for Health is Michael's new book, and I just want to welcome you. Thank you, Michael, for this interview, and welcome to the show.
Well, so I'm so happy to be on your show, Danielle, and please ask me any questions.
Ooh, that's dangerous. So let's just start with the beginning. So what, as you are a retired scientist, what happened in your life that you became so passionate about breathing?
This started, Danielle, when I was training as a yoga therapist back in the late 1980s.
Wow.
And I was training with a man called Paul Harvey, who's very knowledgeable, but could be a little bit difficult at times. And also I was working in a lab where there was another character, very senior, who could also be rather difficult. And one day this senior man, he'd read a little paper I'd written, and he came into my office, and he was at about 40,000 feet and climbing. So I stood up from behind my desk and I answered him very clearly, keeping, you know, my own sort of self-respect and integrity as a scientist. But what I noticed was my breathing. Mm. I noticed that my breathing wasn't panicky. My breathing was deep. I felt internally connected. I was able to both think and feel at the same time, and to come over very convincingly. So convincingly that this man, who everyone in the department feared in one way or another, apologized. And I'd never heard him genuinely apologize to anyone before or since.
Okay. Wow. And what did that say to you, that that man in front of you apologized? And what did that mean to you? How did that
be
the cornerstone to be who you are today?
It showed me we're both people. And if I stood up for myself and I maintained my self-respect and integrity, that was important.
Yes.
But it wasn't just that. It was also the way that my breath supported me. My breath was my friend in that confrontational moment.
Are you saying that the fact that you were breathing deeply, because I see that in my practice as well, the fact that you, is that be, that made you grounded, that made you like standing in your being, in your birthright? Is that what you're saying?
When we breathe deeply, Danielle, we connect with important centers within ourselves of energy and feeling. These are known as chakras, and people think that's something mystical. If you work enough with your breath, as our teacher, Mr. Daisy Gachar, told us, to acutely sense and feel the movement of your breath within your body, you will come across these centers in time.
Okay. Wow. So is that the foundation of your work? Is that what you want to say to people in your book, Breath for Health? Is that the basic key principle?
I started out, Danielle, once I'd qualified in 1990, working part-time as a yoga therapist alongside my work as a scientist. But it's really in the last few years that I've realized that I've become, a go-to, a source for understanding about breathing within my own tradition, within the UK. There are teachers senior to me still in India, but I'm here, I'm a scientist, and also what really put the finger on me to write this book is I can write. I'm a poet. When I was at school 60 years ago, my teacher, English teacher, recognized that I can write. I don't know if you know about Dr. Amy Wheeler in America. She was head of the International Association of Yoga Therapists a few years ago. When she got hold of my book, she said to me, "Michael, this is the book I've always wanted to write."
And what is the essence of your book?
Anyone starting from scratch, knowing nothing, having no confidence, can start with chapter one, master the exercises in chapter one, go on to chapter two, and work in his or her own time. Nobody looking over your shoulder, nobody checking on your progress, nobody even know, you can keep the book tucked away in your drawer and take it out privately, because I feel people have such a barrier. It's like, to start working with the breath, people need to get over a sort of a threshold.
Is that your experience?
Not so much. No, I think that I took to working with the breath fairly readily. But to be honest, Danielle, it's hard for me to think back 40 years.
I know the feeling. Yeah, I know the feeling. Can you tell us a little bit, because this, in this show, let's talk a little bit about stress and our breathing. How would you say that stress is affecting our breathing? And what would be a first step or a first advice or a first tip that you would give anyone listening? Because that's what it's all about, this show. Anyone listening now thinking, I could use a bit of breathing, or, my stress level is so high that I breathe superficially. Some people have hyperventilation. Some people, can feel that they are breathing wrongly. So what about stress and our breath?
First thing to practice, even just a couple of minutes a day, is to find out how to breathe out from your tummy, from your abdomen. People I've found have forgotten, how to do this. And if you cannot breathe out from low down, you won't be able to breathe in there either. The way the body works forbids this.
Okay. So you are saying if you breathe in superficially, you breathe out superficially.
You do, but if you can breathe out from low down, your system will in time relearn to breathe
Okay.
in there as well.
It's like a little children, like, if I see my 2-year-old granddaughter, she breathes mostly with the tummy.
Exactly. Yes. And so, but we forget this. A physiotherapist who came to my breath for health classes during the pandemic, on Zoom. However, she told me, yes, when we're very young, but by the age of 12 or 15, she's observed, most people have developed some kind of dysfunctional pattern of breathing. It
Yes.
could be stress, or it can even be that they copy the way people around them breathe, thinking that's the right way.
But what does stress do to your breathing, to our breathing? Is there a link?
I haven't that it this seems to be it's not a cultural thing that people revert to shallow breathing when we are under stress.
Okay.
I haven't had a chance to look at this fully. I'm thinking about it. But to tell you a story, several years ago, my wife and I were watching a TV program about Japanese samurai. And the samurai saying was that if you see your enemy, and you see his shoulders going up and down as he breathes, he's weak. You can
Yes.
defeat
I
him.
agree. Yes. Good one.
Okay. So, how do people remain, like the samurai, remain calm and breathing deeply in the heat of battle? It seems that universally, as human beings, if we think we're about to face a stressful situation, we start engaging the accessory muscles, the what emergency breathing, the muscles that you use to breathe absolutely
Yes.
maximally. Whereas in the sort of, now that may be relevant if you think you're about to have to run from a leopard or a
Yes.
hyena, but
Yes.
in the sort of situations that we face, that is not relevant. What is relevant is to train yourself to breathe deeply or continue to breathe deeply, as I described to you in the confrontational situation I faced 35 years ago.
Okay. Is there a name for that kind of breathing instead of deeply breathing? Is there a kind of
Trying
concept
to
there?
think of names, Danielle. In my book, at some points, I call it downflow breathing.
Okay, beautiful.
And Do you like that idea? Because I'm always looking for words, for catchphrases that will,
Well, we
people.
are used to call it abdominal breathing. We are used to call it deep breathing. So I do like the term downflow because people forget, and I'm just, this is maybe something else, but it's a topic I found very interesting that goes together with the abdominal breathing, is that our intestines are the, you know, the whole abdominal area is our second brain and is so important. So we need to have a lot of relaxation there that everything else can flow. So I agree that the downflow is actually quite a beautiful term.
And in terms of exhalation, laughing is great
Yeah.
because you're using your abdominal muscles.
Agree. And
So
I,
very
yeah.
loud, yeah.
Beautiful. So tell me a little bit about the book itself. So it is a workbook, as you say, the chapter one, and you follow through. But what is the biggest lesson in there? What is the biggest, lesson, advice, tip in your book? What would that be for anyone listening?
Well, beyond breathe out from your tummy. Patience, because re-educating your breath will take time. So that's one aspect of patience. The other aspect of patience is don't try to fight your dysfunctional breathing pattern.
Oh,
It's
okay.
your dysfunctional breathe, your go, what you call sort of go to stress response breathing. Don't try to fight it in your own time, in a quiet moment, practice a new pattern.
Okay.
Don't fight old patterns, build new patterns, and then, as happened to me, something in you will sense that the new pattern is there and ready. And as I did, you will face that stressful situation with a new pattern of breathing.
And do you have a daily practice that you do to enforce, to embrace, to live that kind of breathing and really have that as a lifestyle?
My wife asked Michael, "Have you done your breathing yet?"
Is it?
Yes.
And so how do you tell us? Is that 10
Well,
minutes a day? Is that
so
what does
10
that
or
consist of?
15 minutes, it depends. Sometimes I have more time, not so much these days, because what I'd like to do like 10, maybe a bit more of breathing, and then just sit quietly. Because the thing is that if anybody listening likes to practice meditation or would like to take up meditation, the most vital thing that you can do to prepare for it is 5, 10 minutes of structured breathing, such as you will find in Breath for Health towards the in the later chapters.
Okay.
And that because Breath for Health is also about mindfulness in breathing.
Okay. Okay, I see what you're saying. So are you seen as a, because you are a chair of the British Council of for Yoga Therapy and all that. So you are an expert in actually quite spiritual practices. But do you find breathing a spiritual practice, or do you find it's, I see it as a daily self-care routine, that is not that spiritual. It's something that any baby, when it comes out of the mother's body, the first thing they do is breathe. So, so how do you think about, how do you feel about that?
Danielle, in Breath for Health, I touch on most with I tried to touch on all of the potential of
Okay.
breathing. And in my fourth chapter, you will find the advice to ask your in-breath to be felt forward of your heart.
Okay.
I'm giving secrets away out of
breath
now. That when we talk about this tense upper breathing, Mr. Deshgachar taught us to start our inhalation in the upper chest. So how does that work? Isn't that terribly stressful? No, because the way that he taught us was to think about the breath coming in forward. So you're opening space forward of your
heart.
And if you do
not,
that...
Not towards the face, you mean, but rather...
Right, not
rather,
up, but
yeah, the expansion.
Mm. If you learn to do that, where once you've mastered that, if you breathe in that way, your shoulders won't go up. They will actually relax.
Mm.
The first time I mastered this, I just felt like my shoulders were dropping somewhere down my back.
Mm. Beautiful.
You know, after so many years of holding my shoulders in the tense way.
Okay. So for you, this book is actually what? Is it like an experience of yourself? The years of experience of yourself that you are putting now all in one kind of...
It's a whole, you know, meld of what I learned from Mr. Deshgachar, directly or indirectly, my own experience, my scientific understanding, my reading about the physiology of breathing and the research actually that was done in Brussels, at School of Medicine.
Okay.
So fusing all these things together and finding that all these things that fit like the pieces of a jigsaw.
Mm. I agree. I recognize that myself. That's how I wrote my book as well. It's like, you know, finally you put a puzzle together for yourself.
Yes.
So anyone listening now and thinking, well, you know, I don't like all this stuff about chakras and breathing and meditation, and you know, anyone listening but feeling that they are stressed, they are feeling stuck, they find their body is in contraction. What would be the first thing to do? Is that breathing, like you say, with the forward? Is that more the abdominal, the down? Because a lot of people don't even know what abdominal breathing is. So what would be the first little tip that you could give?
Borrowing from Patrick McEwan as well as from Mr. Deshgachar, breathe through your nose.
Is that the first thing?
Breathe, yes. Because...
Okay.
The secret is that rapid breathing through your mouth does not get in more oxygen into your body.
I agree.
Slower breathing does the same job of getting oxygen into your body, but it isn't part of a cycle of stress and anxiety.
Okay. So the first one is inhale through the nose. And what do you say about exhale? Is that through the mouth or through the nose?
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. So I'm clarifying things, you know, at a basic level.
People with COPD, Daniel, you know what that is. They are instructed to breathe out through pursed lips. And that's one thing that I do introduce in Breath for Health. Because breathing out slowly, people with no lung damage benefit from the air staying longer in their lungs. It's true for them that, you know, people with lung damage, and it must be true for people with healthy lungs as well.
So and how is the counting for you? Because there's so much things going on about the counting and the holding and the, how do you see that?
There is this observation that when we drop our breathing rate to somewhere between 7 breaths and four or five breaths a minute,
okay,
that this activates the parasympathetic nervous system. Therefore, there's good reason to teach people to count so many seconds to breathe in and arguably a few more seconds to breathe out.
Okay. So always more breathing out than breathing in.
But there is no set number for everyone. Some people, it will be four, five breaths a minute. Some people, it will be seven breaths a minute is ideal.
Okay.
And the only way to discover this is by practice, or unless you have one of these biofeedback machines.
Okay. And is there any use and any advantage in stopping the breath, like breathing in and then hold? I'm asking the expert now, because I have read and heard of so many different ways. So I'm just asking you how you feel about that.
The important thing to master first is to pause between breaths.
Okay.
On empty.
Okay.
That's how you're going to make progress. We can hold our breath in by an act of will. We learn that as children.
Yes.
But to pause on empty, that's something that needs for lots of people, especially people with asthma.
Mm.
Gradually develop the capacity to pause for a few seconds, 5, 10, 15, eventually 20 seconds.
Okay.
On demand, no preparation. Pause now. The capacity to do that needs to be built up through daily exercise.
Yes. Okay. So I find that all, it's very basic what we're talking about now, but I do think it is essential, Michael, because, you know, there's so much out there. It's like losing weight. You know, sometimes it's much better to go back to the basics and really the ground rules and the basic, and that's science, isn't it?
Well, Daniel, I'm going to nail my colours to the mast and say that I wrote my book to be definitive and about the right way to breathe.
Okay, beautiful. Okay.
Not for that I expect everyone to respond in exactly the same way to the exercises, to need to practice in the same way, to even breathe in precisely the same way. I just want everybody's breath to be near optimum, and near enough is good enough.
Mm. And I'm going to just ask you, how important is breath actually in our health, in our well-being? How important?
In 1988, I heard a doctor, Claude Lum, from Papworth Hospital near Cambridge, UK, describe how his colleagues were sending him patients with baffling symptoms. And because he'd gained a reputation for helping those patients themselves through breathing exercises to ease or even lose those baffling symptoms, anxiety, fibromyalgia, digestive problems, and so on, all sorts of things. All the simple ratio breathing was what he taught them.
And that's it.
Yeah. So if something as simple as that, Danielle, can have such a profound effect, you think, you know, in breath of health, I'm giving away all these secrets which people can learn if they just apply themselves 10 minutes a day.
Mm. Is there, I'm going to just finish off because time goes quickly, but is there a quote, a statement, a concept that you live by, something that you have learned from your teachers, something that you have been doing in your life as a retired person? Is there a statement or a quote that you think it might have to do with breath, or it might have to do with something totally different? So I love that kind of question, because everybody has his own quotes and statements that they live by, and I love to hear it from you.
When I was still working at the lab, I had on my desk a picture of Yoda from Star Wars.
Yes.
And I had the, you know, the little poster I'd made up, Be a Jedi.
Oh.
And I spelt the letters out vertically, J-E-D-I. And I use those as a capital letters for this saying.
Okay.
Just effing do it.
Just effing do it. I love it. And is that for you an important statement still today?
It is, really. Yes. I grew up as a rather sort of nervous and hesitant child and young person. So, yes.
And what turned you from that young, nervous person into who you are today? Because you are the calmness itself. You talk slowly, you breathe slowly, you know, you are your own, you know, and you can feel how you are a person of integrity and honesty and principles. So how did you become who you are today compared to 50, 60 years ago?
By being thrown into yoga teaching and having to stand up in front of people and teach them yoga.
Okay.
And
be the teacher. Is that what it did? Yeah.
For many years, it was really fake it till you make it.
But we teach what we need the most, hey, Michael?
Absolutely, Danielle. You know, I needed that experience of standing up in front of people to gradually develop more confidence in other aspects of my life.
Great. Wow. So the show is called, my last question, the show is called From Stress to Authentic Success. What is authentic success to you? What does that mean? And do you feel you are living authentic success?
I feel that with this book and my project to help people to breathe better, that I've found what it is that I'm meant to be doing.
Oh, I love that. It's the passion, the purpose. Then it's not a job,
hey,
Michael.
I'm here for at this moment.
Then it's not a job, hey. Isn't it?
Sorry?
Then it's not a real job. Then it's a passion.
See.
It's a hobby.
It is work. It's sometimes hard work, but no, it's not a grind.
No, I agree. And so to finish off, somebody listening and thinking, well, I need to do something about my breath. Any other advice, any last advice to give them?
My book comes out soon.
When is it coming out, Michael?
8th of December.
Because our audience is everywhere. You know, we have in the States, we have in India, we have in New Zealand, we are everywhere. So when is it coming out?
December the 8th.
Okay.
It'll be on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Waterstones, either print or e-copy.
Yeah, and your social media links, we'll promote you anyway, and the website will be there so people can, you know, can. But I loved your tip of start breathing inwards with the nose. Wasn't that the first one?
Through your nose.
Yes. Everything. Breathe in and breathe out with your nose and keep your mouth out of it.
Closed except when you need to talk it, singing, laughing.
Of course. Of course. But I love it because it's something that a lot of people forget, you know, how important the nose breathing is. So I'm really happy that you emphasized on that. So thank you for that. I really want to thank you. You can feel that you are a man of experience and that you know exactly what you're talking about. So thank you so much, Michael. I will come back to the audience just now after this little break. Thank you.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV Licensing.
Yes, TV Licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Thank you for listening in once again. I trust that you had a few insights and that you could hear how Michael Hutchinson is breathing deeply and slowly, how calm he is. Maybe it might even irritate us because sometimes we are so in that pattern of quick breathing, of rapid breathing, of superficial breathing. He calls it emergency breathing when we are nervous and when we are stressed, instead of going into the breath that he calls downflow breathing. I really love that. It's like the abdominal, the tummy breathing, and really going deep within and finding that peace and harmony. Now, I really loved when he talked about the samurai, how people can see in other people when they are stressed or not through their breathing, how their shoulders are moving. And I have seen that in my practice as a physiotherapist, as much as I see it now every day in my practice, when I help and guide people shifting out of their chronic stress, I see that breathing indeed is an important part. And it's so basic. This whole interview was such basic information, but I cannot say it again and again how important it is to just grasp that basic foundation, that real basic breathing, that it is so influential to your health. So don't fight it neither. I always say, don't judge it. Don't fight it. If you are in a state of superficial breathing or a stressful breath, do not fight it. Accept it and build on that pattern. Start with little routines daily. It is all a practice. As Michael was saying, it is all also of including a sort of mindfulness. It's a sort of consciousness. When you discover consciously your patterns, then you can start changing them. So the slower breathing pattern through the nose, and Michael was explaining to us that 7 breaths in 1 minute is about, you know, the not the right way, but the way that we suggest that you do. So because it has an influence on your parasympathicus, as Michael was saying, also try to pause between breaths. And I know from experience that so many clients of mine, and I'm asking you that question, are you breathing superficially? Are you feeling sometimes out of breath or having signs of hyperventilation, like really feeling a little bit froggy in your head or tingling hands? So sometimes we have symptoms that are warning us of our dysfunctional breathing, but we often don't listen. So again, it is important to become conscious of your breathing. Look within what is happening in your body. How are you breathing daily in any situation? So from the morning you wake up till the evening that you go to sleep, breathing can be a help for you. It can be a tool, a strategy for you to go from stress to authentic success. So I really liked this interview. And I know it was basic information, but we need to repeat it again and again. It doesn't cost you anything to start breathing properly. And it is such a benefit if you start using those tips that we have talked about, Michael and I. And when I asked Michael about the statement or the quote that he is living by, about he was explaining the Yoda from Star Wars and the word Jedi, the just effing do it. Now, I was a bit surprised because if you say just effing do it, to me, it gives me already a bit of an overdrive. At the same time, it is indeed necessary to start doing it, to start focusing on your breathing. So I understand what Michael is coming from. And it is only in the action that we can make change. If we know all about it and you hear every single week an interview, a radio show, you read a book, you can read Michael's book, whatever you do in reading and listening, it is not enough. You need to take action onto it, integrate it, build a daily routine in any way. That's how you go from stress to authentic success. That's why I call it living authentic success, because the living is the practice in daily life, is the continuous growth, evolvement in how you develop into your lifestyle, daily practice, daily self-care routine practice. That is how it works. So I'm going to leave you for this week. I trust that you have an amazing time coming, a few amazing days to come. Keep good care of yourself. Do practice your breathing, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.